Well, it's great to be here and to renew fellowship with my friend Paul and Allison. It's great to share that time and to see these boys are all grown up now. Man, this one was like a little toddler, little baby, the last time I saw him, but I remember that face. Never forget that face. It's so good to see you guys and to share fellowship with you this morning. As Paul was sharing, many years ago, it was, I came to the UK, I came to Lakenheath. This past January would be 50 years that I came to Lakenheath. And my wife and I, we were leading a life that wasn't conducive to Christianity. I wanted nothing to do with God, in fact. And I was in the drug trade, I was in the military, but also trafficking drugs and using drugs. And it got to the point where my wife had had enough of the lifestyle and she was ready to divorce me. And this was going back some 40 years ago. And she called my mother and told my mother, I can't live like this anymore. My mother, she raised us up as Christians and she was a prayer warrior. She just passed away last year at the age of 93. But she prayed with Lisa, and within the course of several weeks or a month, a couple of months, Lisa came to Christ and she started serving him. And that's what Paul referred to. She had to go into the bathroom to read the Bible. She had to go into the bathroom to pray. And I would look at her. And one thing that I did that God really, really showed me his majesty, I told her, because I was a nightlife person, and I told her, we're going to the club. We're gonna shake it down a little bit at the club. And I want you to go to the club with me. And she came to the club. And we were on the dance floor, but she had this brooch on her chest, the name of Jesus. And with the disco lights, this flashing into my face, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And so that caused a problem for me. Yeah, it did. And then not long after that, I think it was about a year later after she came to Christ that I came to the Lord. And that's when I came back from a place called Greenham Common back up to Lakenheath. And that's when I met Paul. And that was about this past February, would have been 38 years ago. And so when I met Paul, I thought this young cat is on fire. I need to hang around him a little bit. And he blessed me so much, a lot of input into my life in the early years. And I really thank God for his ministry and how he's been a blessing. And I know you guys are blessed here with him beyond what you can imagine. And so I want to encourage you this morning with something that I've been on. I know we just came out of the Easter holiday, the Resurrection Sunday, but I want to stay in that vein just a little bit because I think there's something in that context that will enable us to rise to some place, a place in God that we have not been before. And so I want to encourage you, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a lot of text scriptures today, but one of my favorite is Hebrews chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2. And how many of you know that? I hope you do. So Hebrews 12, chapters, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us look with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. That's so good. I'm good. You know, I'm excited about that, to know that he finished it. You know, he has nothing left to be done. He completed the work. And we don't go into something that's still being built. We go into something that's been completed. And we step into a completed work. And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. I want to talk to you about a plan. We all know this last week we call it Holy Week. They call it Holy Week, and we. But I want to talk to you about within the context of Holy Week, there was a plan. That God is trying to get us to see, the church to see, that Holy Week is not just about what Jesus was doing. He's trying to show us a way to live. Okay? He's trying to show us something that we can move into, because the fact is we're supposed to follow him, right? Amen. Some of you don't know that yet, but we are supposed to follow him, and if we follow him, we'll see what he did happen for us. See, this is a guideline, not just about a life that took place during that time, but I believe it is a guideline to spiritual renewal, maybe even to revival. Amen. Maybe even to the manifested presence of God in a way we haven't seen before. Amen. So I want to begin this with us, because having celebrated the resurrection, we're going to stay in this context, Holy Week. Let me just say this. You don't mind if I walk around?
I like to walk around and look at people in the face and look at them in the eyes. That doesn't mean I'm going to do anything. It just means that I like to do that because I'm a mover.
You're going to want to do it better. Put this on in.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're okay?
I give you permission.
This gives me permission to move around. Or was it the youngin' over there saying, mic him up? It was you, right? I figured. So there is something that takes place in our lives as believers, and we live this life, but we live a life kind of like on a roller coaster. And we go from one place to another place like this. And in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he described the kind of roller coaster that you and I can go through in life. And he said that he called him Simon, then he called him Peter, and then he called him Satan. And you might not want that name attached to you, but there are issues, and sometimes situations in our life when the same thing can happen to us. It's like a roller coaster. One minute he's called Simon. His name Simon means unstable. And then he's called Peter, and he becomes a rock by which God can build something with. And he's called Satan. And so it's this up and down. I don't know about you, but I've gone through that. This up and down problem roller coaster life. Well, see, what God wants us to do is to study that out and become more of a Peter rather than a Simon or a Satan. And what I want to talk to you about is how we study out our life. Holy Week shows us how to study out our life and to get to a point where we become exceeding. See, the Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. And see, God wants to show us that he could work extraordinary things through us if he can steady us out. And so Holy Week helps us understand that. And so the first thing that we come to in Holy Week is Palm Sunday. We know what that is, right? When all the kids are waving palm branches. I thought it was really funny because the way I grew up, we'd get these palm branches, and all we were taught was this Sunday you wave the palm branches, but unfortunately we never learned a lot else. We learned about the palm branches, and then the following Sunday we learned about the resurrection. And we never were taught what took place during the middle and the rest of that week, which is significant for us. Right. The palm branches, they were waving those palm branches. And of course, everybody knows that this was that triumphal entry of Christ. But they were doing it for another reason. They thought God was going to institute a change of regime right there on Palm Sunday. And then when they found out that wasn't happening, they started screaming, "Give us Barabbas." See, because it wasn't what they expected. What God wants to teach us is no matter what the situation looks like, if you keep giving him praise, Come on, somebody. I've given you an opportunity right there. If you keep giving him praise, despite what it looks like, even though it doesn't go the way you want it to go or intended it to go, he's going to complete what he wants to do regardless of what's taking place. Amen? You need to talk to me, first of all. You got to talk to me. I need help because I'm getting old, see? I need help. If you don't help me, then I don't know. And so this palm branches, and they're waving, and they endured the cross. I thought it was really a phenomenal thing. Is that in the text, in Hebrews, it says he endured the cross, despising the shame, for seeing the joy that was set before him. Listen, even though it's not going your way, you got to see that there's good coming. Regardless of what it looks like now, there is good coming. We may not be there yet, but it is coming. Just like you, yeah, I don't know if they have public transport in here. Do they have public transport?
Just about. We're not that far in the States.
You know, they give you the timetable of when the bus is supposed to be there. But we hope that we can stand there and wait because we know eventually the bus is going to be there. It's the same thing with God. You know he has a timetable. And it may not look like it's going to come, but it will come. Amen. He's faithful and just. Hallelujah. I got to ask you to do something else. You know, I mean, this seems to be a very, you know, you're quiet. Every once in a while, you can let go with one. Hallelujah. It's okay. Nobody will think of you as being strange or anything like that. Definitely won't. So, and the next thing that takes place is Holy Monday. And we know what Holy Monday is. It's the point where Mary came and anointed the feet of Jesus. It's this anointing that came upon him. Let me tell you, the anointing, when he was anointed, he was anointed for purpose. And because she anointed him, it showed her belief in him, her faith in him as the deliverer. She knew that this was the one coming to set us free from our sins. Amen. I don't know about you, but I needed that freedom. I was bound by alcohol, bound by drugs. But when Jesus came into my life, he broke every chain that bound me. I don't care how strong the chains were. Jesus was stronger still. Amen. And so it is this point and at this time that we are able to rejoice. Because of that anointing that breaks every yoke. But listen to me. Just like Mary having this belief and understanding as Jesus is the deliverer, we too demonstrate our trust in him by picking up our cross. Because the Bible does tell us that we are deny ourselves, pick up our crosses, and follow him. See, this is what Holy Week is all about. If I'm going to see what was accomplished in Jesus' life, if I follow him, it will be accomplished in my life. Amen. So he encourages us to pick up the cross. Can I say something to you? Because we don't like conversations like this, because the cross represents pain and it represents damage. And not many of us want to talk about being damaged or hurt or put into any kind of pain. But can I tell you, it's necessary? Not many people are saying amen. Everybody's going, I'm not sure about that one. Yes, it is necessary that happens in our life. But can I tell you, whatever damage the cross causes to your life, God will restore it. Amen. Whatever damage, he will restore. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that, doesn't it? It says the same spirit which raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you and me. So whatever pain happens to me from going through the challenge of the cross, the spirit of God in me, come on somebody, will deal with that pain and raise me up in my spirit so that I can walk according to his plan. Somebody say amen. I'm about to go crazy.
Amen.
And so That was Holy Monday. Then they had Holy Tuesday or Fig Tuesday, it's called. Holy Tuesday or Fig Tuesday. And this was after Jesus was at the Mount of Olives at Gethsemane and having that powerful encounter with God where he concludes that it's God can't be his will. It has to be God's will. Can I say, you know, what I love about Jesus is that he was real. Yeah. He was authentic. And what I mean by that, you know, sometimes we as Christians, we try to put on this false spirituality. And really, we're not being real with people that we're dealing with in an everyday encounter. But here's Jesus. He's walking. He's God incarnate.
Amen.
100% man, yet 100% God.
Amen.
And here he is coming out. He's in this Gethsemane and God's showing him what must take place. And he's saying to him, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to do it. But nevertheless, you know, there's something powerful in submitting our will and our personal desire to the will of God. There's something powerful in that, because that means he can not only turn around my thinking, but he can turn around my circumstances. Nevertheless, not my will. Yeah, I'll die, but on the third day, I know something's going to take place. And whatever you're going through, you have to walk with that understanding. It's going to be painful now, but there's joy coming in the morning time.
Amen.
Glory be to God. I'm sorry. I'm looking at these guys like, this guy's crazy. What's wrong with this guy? Paul invited this man here to our church. So he comes and he sees this fig. And he looks at the fig, and the fig has big leaves and everything. Let me tell you, that tells you, with most fig plants, that tells you that there's fruit when you see these big leaves. But he looked under the leaves and there was no fruit. Then he cursed it. Can I tell you something? We need to get rid of, in our lives, of everything that is fake, that is pretense. Get rid of all pretense in your life. Get ready for the reality of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost. Say, I don't want to pretend anymore. I don't want any fakeness in my life. I don't want anything that looks good in appearance. I want it to be the reality of fruit in my heart and in my life that is on display.
Amen.
Are you with me here? Are you with me, sir?
Yeah,
amen. Amen. That's what he wants. Amen?
Amen.
Get rid of that fakeness. You don't want none of that. Can you imagine? See, I'm known. I don't know if, oops, almost lost my shoe. I don't know if, Paul, if I ever gave you guys any of my steaks, you know, I'm a steak person. I do steaks really well. You know, I get the ribeye steaks and I season them 24 hours before I cook them. And so, and I put them on a grill. I don't use frying pans, none of that. I take them outside and I put them on a grill with charcoal to get that real flavor. So I have a real good quality steak. So when I go to other places and I go to restaurants and they're supposed to be really top dog, it's like fake to me. Because mine's is reality. And nobody want nothing fake. They want what's real. Amen?
Yeah.
Suppose you went to a fish and chip shop and they gave you some American brand thing. You'd be like, keep this. You want real fish and chips. You don't want nothing fake, right? Who wants anything fake? If it's not authentic, it doesn't meet the need. But when it's real, it meets the need. And there's a group of people out there in this world that need the fruit of God in your life.
Amen.
And they want what's real. They need what's real. Okay? And so,
I haven't said too much about that already.
Maundy Thursday. I'll just move on. Maundy Thursday. The Last Supper. Mm-hmm. It was an encouragement. No, I'm sorry.
third, Spy Wednesday. I missed Wednesday, didn't I? I went right by that. Wednesday. Now, we know what this is. Ash Wednesday, Spy Wednesday.
This is when Judas plans with those people in the Sanhedrin to betray Jesus. They set out the plan. They said, okay, bud, you do this, we're going to put 30 pieces of silver in your pocket. We're going to hook you up with 2 months worth of wages. We're going to take care of you. And for instance, 30 pieces of silver in their day was 2 months of wages. To now, today's currency for us, it's only like 90 pounds. And so they were going to take care of them, hook him up with 2 months worth of wages. Let me tell you something. What value Judas placed on the life of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? 30 pieces of silver. Can I say something to you? Listen to me. When God starts to move in your life, people will betray you. It's not all lollipops and ice cream. People will betray you. But listen, this is how you deal with that. Listen, you have to know your worth in God. Jesus said, you are more valuable than many sparrows. The psalmist wrote, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knows very well. Yeah. I know what I'm worth. I don't need anybody's opinion about me. They can say what they want about me. I know what he says about me. And what they want to say cannot do anything to me. It can't change me. It can probably hurt me. But listen, whatever damage they can cause, God can fix it. And you have to know that you're worth something. Your value is not placed in people's opinions about you. It doesn't define you. God defines you. God, somebody needs to say amen right there. Yeah, you do. You need to say amen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they say. God has the plan. Okay, this is Maundy Thursday. I'm going to get ready to hurry up now because I know people, you're looking like, I smell food. At Lake and Heath and Bigglesworth. That's the main thing. We're food people. And so whenever we have a lunch or something like that, you know, you're starting to try to preach and everybody's like, time to go. But Faith, this is Maundy Thursday. It's the day of the Last Supper. And I believe that this is probably a great time of encouragement that we should become. If we're going to see God do some tremendous things among us, we need to be encouragers of one another. Here's Jesus. The picture is this. Jesus is sitting down to have a last meal with his friends, with his betrayer right there. Yeah. The psalmist wrote, I prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Yeah. And so he's sitting right there with his betrayer. Yeah. And his only thing that's on his mind is preparing his friends for the kingdom. Let me read something to you. This is what's on his mind. Luke 22, beginning at verse 14. A little bit of a slight reading, but I need to read it. And when the hour has come, he sat down and the 12 apostles were with him. And he said to them with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. Let me say this to you. There's something in those texts that we need to focus on. And he kept saying to them, no matter of the suffering that's coming my way, the kingdom is coming. We have got to keep our focus on the coming of the kingdom rather than our present situation. That's what enables us to go through our situation and focus on the plan. Amen.
The kingdom is coming. I remember this old opera singer in New York City. He sang that song. The king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God. He's coming today. Oh. No, I can't do that part. But it's the kingdom coming. See, that's what gives me a confidence to pursue the thing that God has for us. And, you know, we've gone through some really challenging times at Lake and Heath and Biggles Way. COVID came, and really the bottom line was we had to rebuild. Everything was washed away. We started at Lake and Heath. We came back after COVID, 8 of us. Mm-hmm. We came back to Biggles Way, 4 of us. And we had to put our heads down, and I tell you what, there were days I was preaching to 2 people some days, and I was like, I don't want to be doing that. Lord, help me. And then God put it in my heart. I was talking to Pastor just before it started. It's not how many that are there. These are the ones that I gave you to look after. So you look after 1, 2, 3, 4, however many there are, you look after them. Yeah. If I want to do anything else extra, I can do it. But for now, this is what you do. Amen. Glory be to God. Okay, let me hurry up. Because I could sense things. See, he knew the fear and concern of those guys, and so he wanted to get them focused. And often we get discouraged because we lose focus. And God, if he can keep us focused, we'll remain encouraged. You know what Jesus said in our text? He despised the shame for seeing the joy that was set before him. He could see beyond his present situation into the plan. What was the joy that he had that he could see? You and me coming to know the Father. Amen. That's what stirred his heart. Yeah. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Good Friday. Let me hurry up. Good Friday. What Good Friday represents is the completion of a plan. Mm-hmm. You know that Jesus said these 3 words, "It is finished," yeah, on Good Friday. It was the completion of a plan. And so there's a plan and a purpose that every one of us in this room has, mm-hmm, that God wants us to complete. Yeah. Ephesians 2:10 tells me that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Every one of us has a job to do. You know, that's one good thing about that. I don't have to be jealous over my wife's job because I got my own job. I can't do what she can do, and she can't do what I can do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We should never be jealous or wanting to do what somebody else is doing, because if God wanted you to do it, you would be doing it. But if you're not doing it, that means he has something else for you to do. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Come on now. Booyah. He has something else for you to do. Yeah. Amen. Okay, so here's Good Friday, and I think it's remarkable because God assigns us. Jesus said this. How many of you know that we place a lot of emphasis in churches and people? They place a lot of emphasis on what they call success, and perceived success looks a lot like the modern church. They say this is success, and if you look like this, you're successful. No, success is not based on what people feel success is. This is what Jesus based his success in. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 4. I have glorified you on earth, and I have finished the work you have given me.
Yeah.
I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Yeah. That's what success is.
Yeah.
Finishing what God has asked you to do. So your question should be, now, God, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it.
Amen.
Okay, I can tell, guys, I'm almost there. Holy Saturday.
I love Holy Saturday because nobody says much about it, but it seems like this is the time where nothing seems to be going on, yet everything's going on. Yeah. This is the time that seems like, you know, when we are in our personal lives, we're saying, God, what are you going to do? And the appropriate thing to do or to say at that time or just to do is just to wait, because God is doing something. We wait on God to do what only God can do. Amen. That's what takes place on Saturday. Remember, the Bible says he ascended. Yeah. In Ephesians, he said he ascended into the deep. And I can't remember the whole text, the way it goes, but he says that he led captivity captive and he gave good gifts to man. He led captivity captive. He went down. I have this picture in mind. I don't know if you can think of it like me, but I have this picture in mind because Jesus also tells us in the revelation of Jesus Christ that he got the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the enemy then, right? And I don't know about you, but I think of it like this because I have this crazy imagination. And when Jesus, remember in the garden when they came to get Jesus and they said, where is he? What? And Jesus said, I am. Yeah. And the Bible says those wicked men fell back. Yeah. I have this imagination that Jesus went to hell. He walked up into hell and announced his arrival. The King of Kings is here. Where are the keys? And you know, a lot of people mistakenly say that there was a big fight and he wrestled the keys from the devil. No, I don't think it happened like that. I think he said, give me the keys. And the enemy bowed. Amen. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The enemy bowed and said, here are the keys, and gave them up to him. And I think it's an extraordinary thing that when the text says he led captivity captive, whatever it is that held you captive, Jesus now has it captive. Amen. Wow. I was a drug addict, but my addiction, Jesus, now holds captive. No longer am I captive. The prop thing that held me captive is now in captivity by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that held you down, whatever it is that tried to destroy you, Jesus has hold of it now, and you are free. Amen. Glory be to God. And I love it. I love it. Because we have these groups in our churches at Lake and Heath called Cocaine Anonymous. And we minister to these people who are drug addicts. And I go to the meetings. Because of my previous experience, I go to the meetings and I sit with them. And there's some language used that's not appropriate. But let me tell you something. If the Bible says we are light, we are not supposed to run from the darkness. The darkness is supposed to run from us. So I go and I sit in those meetings. And beloved, let me tell you something. They talk about struggling from relapses and worrying about being caught by a relapse. And I tell them, let me tell you something. There's somebody who holds my relapse captive. Yeah. And it'll never catch up with me. Because I'm walking in the purpose that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which for good works that he wants us to do.
Yeah.
And so you just walk in that. Amen. I'm going to hurry up now. Somebody said, yeah, sure you are. Yeah. Finally, Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
I can go over everything concerning Resurrection Day, but I think, and I'm just going to cut it short here, I think God can do some phenomenal things. But in Resurrection Day, we know what the text says, that same spirit which raised Christ from the dead will now quicken our mortal bodies. And we know he can quicken us and make us more than we are. But I like it when God turns the tables on the enemy. The Bible says those good people that loved him weren't the first ones at the tomb. Said there were a couple of guards there. And the stone was rolled away. They looked into the tomb, and Jesus wasn't there. And so the guards ran back to the chief priests
and said to them, "We got a problem. He ain't in there." Who ain't in there? Jesus, that Jesus we put in there and rolled that stone. Well, that stone is rolled away, and Jesus ain't in that tomb. And so at that point, they tried to change the narrative. They gave them guys a bunch of money and said, "You go tell everybody that those Christians, they came and stole him out of the tomb." Well, the funny thing is, they forgot that they were all asleep when this happened. So how do you know the Christians came and took him? But let me tell you something. When God begins to move and do things in our lives, the enemy will try to change the narrative. You keep focused, because he ain't going to be able to change it. Because they will ever find, they never found his body, because he weren't there, not on this earth anymore. Amen. Eventually he was gone.
Yes. Amen.
They're going to try and place stuff on you and say and change your narrative. But let me tell you something. If God has ordained something in your life, they won't be able to change it.
No.
And what is it all about, Vince? On this day, the Bible said death and hell could no longer hold him. Hallelujah. It couldn't hold him anymore. There's been some stuff maybe holding one or two of you in this place. But today, it can't hold you no more. You're free.
Amen.
One statement that the angels answered those who came to find them. He said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He isn't here." Many years ago, I celebrate 23 July with a real heart of celebration. That is the day Jesus rose in my heart. And from that point on, whatever struggle I went through and however I went through it, nobody has had to encourage me to give him the praise that he's worthy of. Because he set me free. Because he did what he did in my life. The Bible says those who are forgiven much, they love much. And I know many of you have been forgiven some real stuff. Love him with everything you have, because he's worth it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you for your word. Now pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will keep my brothers and sisters here encouraged, do great things among them. Amen. Father, we know you're able to do it. And just as we pursue you, that God, as we take the map of your holy week and we pursue you, we know we're going to have struggles, but we know there is a day of reckoning that will come. Hallelujah. So we thank you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Oh, wait, I tell you what. Let me just do this. I'm going to do this. Listen, just for a second. All to Jesus I surrender, and all to him I freely give. And I will ever love and trust him, and in his presence I will daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. Oh, I surrender all. God bless you guys. Amen. Amen.